This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
There is new information on the Hillary Clinton email investigation into her server. Fox News now learning what Brian Pagliano is telling the feds after he was given immunity for his cooperation. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge on that today in Washington. Catherine, what are you learning?
Well, thank you, Bill, and good morning. An intelligence source close to the investigation tells Fox News the former Clinton IT specialist Brian Pagliano has told the FBI how the former Secretary of State's unsecured personal email system was set up, who had access, when, and what devices were used. Fox News was told that Pagliano, who struck an immunity deal with the Justice Department late last year, has provided a kind of roadmap for investigators, and his importance to the FBI case cannot be overemphasized. The source, who's not authorized to speak on the record due to the sensitivity of the ongoing investigation, said Pagliano's information is helping investigators knit together the emails with other evidence, including images of Mrs. Clinton using her devices on the road as Secretary of State. CBS recently asked Clinton about the FBI probe and Pagliano's immunity deal.
It's a security review. I'm delighted that he has agreed to cooperate, as everyone else has. And I think that we'll be moving toward a resolution of this.
A source close to Pagliano did not dispute the basics of what's been provided to the FBI, but said the former State Department IT specialist had met with the Bureau on a limited basis and was at best a peripheral player in the criminal investigation, Bill.
Do we know which emails the FBI is looking at right now, Catherine?
Well, the intelligence source said the FBI is, quote, extremely focused on the 22 top secret emails that are too damaging to national security to publicly release under any circumstances, with agents reviewing those sent by Hillary Clinton, as well as her subordinates, including her chief of staff at State, Cheryl Mills. Fox was told a primary goal is to determine intent. Do the emails show knowledge that classified information is being handled?
What's important about these messages, which have been denied release by the intelligence community that the FBI is now looking at, is significant by the fact that there has to be an accounting of how those messages came to be.
In addition to the 22 top secret, the intelligence community and State Department reviews have found nearly 2,100 emails containing classified information, including intelligence from foreign government sources, which is born classified. Clinton says nothing she sent or received was marked classified at the time, but the federal rules on this point are clear. Classified material is based on the content, not its markings.
More to come. Catherine, thank you. Catherine had a look on that today.
Well, I'll tell you, there is more to come, and you just keep wondering, Scott, I got to tell you, to hear Hillary respond to this, I mean, she feels very confident. I mean, welcoming that Pagliano, she's like, I have this sense like we're playing a card game here. And, and she's playing it, playing her cards close to her vest, so to speak.
It's weird that, okay, there's a few things in there that would worry me. If somebody worked for me and then they had to strike an immunity deal?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's telling right there in and of itself, yeah. Without a doubt.
I mean, you don't have to strike immunity deals just to talk to anybody, and explain a system unless rules were actually broken, unless they have charges that they can bring against you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Clintons have been very effective, under the terms of plausible deniability and the way they've been able to obfuscate things. I mean, they're experts at taking reality and twisting it into one big pretzel. And you wonder, okay, what's up, what's down with them? And, I'll tell you, this is probably why it's taking so long, is they've got to make sure they've got all their ducks in a row here, right?
They also do this great thing to where they always present this thought that, like, the buck stops here with me.
Yes.
Both the Clintons do this. Oh, the buck stops here, unless I'm in trouble, in which case I don't really know what's going on.
Right, exactly. Or you got to understand, the rules of play and this sort of thing. And it just confuses the matter all the more. And it's no wonder that the constituency is brain bruised over all this. But hey, we'll continue to pursue it. Brian Pagliano, of course, now, you know, spilling the beans, so to speak. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 4 minutes after.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop me.
Well, we're back with you, America, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us as always. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. You know, a lot of things to remember historically, and our next guest is quite the historian. I always love being around Bill and hearing him talk, especially when we get into things about history. We're going to talk about today's birthday being Albert Einstein's birthday, born in Germany on March the 14th in 1879. Bill Fetter, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill Fetter, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Hey, I want to talk about President Obama's truthfulness or lack thereof regarding you know, the whole Muslim narrative. But before we do, I was reading on your blog as we were recalling one Albert Einstein, who today is his birthday, began teaching calculus, you say, at the age of 14.
Yeah, he was definitely changed the entire what they call Newtonian physics. Mm-hmm. And the idea of E equals MC squared and how time in the distance and a mass. It's quite fascinating. Matter of fact, I went through a tour of the Kennedy Space Center. Mm-hmm. I was speaking at a conference, and along with me was General Bob Stewart. He's flew in the Challenger and in the Atlantis space shuttle. And he's going through there, and he's like, oh, this thruster can give this many pounds of thrust, and this one, you know, it uses hydrogen. And it's just a very, for somebody that's more history-oriented, to be around individuals that have a brilliant scientific mind is quite intimidating. And that was Albert Einstein. He had this brilliant mind, and he they had the different laws of physics, and he had come up with the idea that a ray of light would bend as with a gravitational pull. And so there was a eclipse, and they were able to document a ray of light bending as it went around the moon or whatever. And they said Newtonian physics is old, and here Albert Einstein theory of physics is now the new one. So,
well, without a doubt, you know, you wrote that in 1921 he won the Nobel Peace Prize in physics. And I like, you know, you related his description of the theory of relativity, about when a man sits with a pretty girl for an hour, right? I'm going to let you finish that out.
Yeah. Albert Einstein was describing relativity, and he says, if a man sits with a pretty girl for an hour, it seems like a couple of minutes, but if he sits on a hot stove for a couple of minutes, it seems like an hour. And so it's sort of relative there. But,
yeah, without a doubt. I mean, as much of a genius as he was, is, you know, when he could talk at you know, about such lofty things. He also knew how to bring it down to its lowest common denominator, such as the theory of relativity.
Well, and then he was Jewish, and he was in Germany, and they had gotten into, you know, the National Socialist Workers Party. You know, people forget socialism. Well, Nazi is socialism, so the National Socialist Workers Party decided that they were going to discriminate against Jews, and they actually burnt his books, and so he and it eventually had to flee to America, and he became a citizen of America, and was there at Princeton University. And did his research, and he's the one who knew about the Nazis developing, you know, on the track to develop nuclear weapons.
Exactly.
And so Einstein influenced Franklin Roosevelt to say, hey, you better get your Manhattan Project up and running because they're doing it. And, you know, it was this race to finish. So but it's a fascinating study of a person who was very deep, Albert Einstein.
And from his experience, as you say, experiencing socialism, the Nazi Party, you know, he had a comment about the redistribution of wealth that I believe America and certainly America's youth could benefit from greatly. He says, I'm absolutely convinced that no wealth in the world can help humanity forward, even in the hands of the most devoted worker in this cause. I mean, he saw this clearly, you know, for what it was. That you cannot allow somebody else, you know, to take over your freedoms.
Well, it's interesting. Vladimir Lenin said the goal of socialism is communism. And even Franklin Roosevelt said the Soviet Union is run as a dictatorship, as absolute as any dictatorship in the world. So really all socialism is dictatorship, right? All communism, right. Socialism. And you think of it, well, I thought that was where everybody owned everything equally. Let's think a little deeper. Who decides who gets to live in the nice house and who gets to live in the dumpy house? Somebody in the government dictates those things. Well, whoever ultimately dictates those things is the dictator. And you have this hierarchical system where the dictator is the new king. The Communist Party members are the new royalty. They get to live in the nice houses. They get special shops to shop in. And then the people are the peasants. And so communism, socialism is this hierarchical structure as to, are you connected with the dictator or the insiders of the party?
Exactly. Well, Albert Einstein saw very clearly what apathy could do to a people. In Germany, of course, only 10% were Nazis. 90% were not, but they just went along to, you know, to get along. And Albert Einstein made this statement, again, that echoes through the ages and will continue. The world is a dangerous place, not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. That sums it all up, doesn't it, Bill?
Well, yeah, and now with the current threat of Islam, people say, well, most Muslims are not violent. Yeah, maybe 10% are, but there was only 10% Nazi Party members that did all the Holocaust. There's only 10% Communist Party members in the Soviet Union, and that during the time where they killed, you know, 60 million of their own people. And so a very small group of people with the guns and with the political power can do great damage to the rest of the country. And now we're seeing that the Muslim Brotherhood is a hybrid between communism and socialism together with Islam. And so it's this very dangerous combination.
And people are quiet. And then, you know, it's like, okay, and as we're being quiet and we don't want to offend anybody, you know, our question has been, I know yours as well, Bill, is, you know, where are they? Where's the 90% stepping up and condemning what the 10% are doing?
Right. A lot of people, I was explaining to somebody that with the Muslim immigrants coming into Europe, again, the majority of them are nonviolent, but there is a percentage that do have a goal of overthrowing government and setting up their Sharia law. And the facilitators of that is the multiculturalism, pluralism, diversity, and this idea that, hey, everything's fine. And if you look at it, it's sort of like AIDS to the body. So if you have a healthy immune system and viruses come in, your white blood cells attack it. But if you have AIDS, the virus comes in and your white blood cells sort of sit back and let the thing grow and get larger until it finally kills you. And so if you have a healthy body politic, then in comes a group that wants to you know, do female genital mutilation, wants to have child brides, wants to have guys beat their wives, and then we're going to say, no, you can't do that here.
Exactly.
The whole multiculturalism endures. That's their culture. You've got to let them do it.
Exactly. Bill, we got to go to break. Bill Federer with us. We've got more from him right after this.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-and-a-chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuzena, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuzena because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuzena Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2-and-a-chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's hardship program. Call 800-272-9128. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-272-9128. That number, 800-272-9128. Call now, 800-272-9128.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bedbugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter RADIO. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You gotta shake, 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 like you change, change, change.
Hey, coming up this third hour, it is about your opinions and your calls. We're going to be opening up the phone lines, so stay with us. Bill Federer is with us right now, author of the book, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. Also, Rise of the Tyrant.
And this is volume two. Hopefully, if we get a chance, we'll get into it. If not, it's another good reason to talk with Bill Fetter and keep the conversation going. The 6,000-year quest for global power, fascinating read, let me tell you. It gives you the background. Bill, you know, President Obama tells us with a straight face, you know, his worldview about Muslim history. But again, he seems to be a bit loose with the facts, and he's relied all his life on his charm, so facts seem to be a little elusive with this man.
Well, and it is important for us to clear the confusion up, because we have Muslim terrorists doing attacks, and then the president will defend them and say they don't represent true Islam. Yet the Muslims that are doing the attacks are yelling Allahu Akbar, and they claim they do represent true Islam. Who can tell us what true Islam is? One person, Muhammad. Muhammad was the best Muslim that ever lived, and so Muslims that want to be better Muslims, they want to be like him. His life is actually called the Sunnah, which means the way or the example or the standard. And so Muhammad's life went through three stages, and we need to understand these three stages, because those that are copying him are doing the same thing that he did. Muhammad was a religious leader in the pagan city of Mecca for 12 years, from 610 AD to 622 AD, and Muhammad only made 70 converts in 12 years. He gets confrontational, and the people of Mecca decide he's a disturber of the peace. They chase him out of town in 622 AD. He has nowhere to go. He tries to go to a city called Al-Taif. They don't want him. They pelt him with rocks and stones, and so he is a Muslim refugee. And so with no place to go, there's a Jewish city to the north, and they are nice. They let Muhammad in as a Muslim immigrant. Muhammad goes into the minority neighborhoods, and he begins to organize a following. And once it gets big enough, we're familiar with the term of organizing in the community.
Yes.
He goes with his following to the Jewish leaders and pressures them to accommodate him and his followers politically. And the Jews do and make a treaty with Muhammad. Now he's a political leader in addition to being a religious leader. Then something happens. Muhammad's followers in Mecca get pushy, argumentative, and threatening. They get chased out of town for disturbing the peace. They have nowhere to go. They're Muslim refugees. They go to Medina, and Muhammad allows his followers to rob the caravans headed to Mecca in retaliation for the Meccans chasing them out of town. So there's a change here. So where Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt, Muhammad's attitude was, if they take your house, you retaliate, take their caravan. He got a whole chapter of the Quran from his Allah, it's Surah 8, chapter 8, on how to distribute booty from robbing caravans. Muhammad got a fifth of the booty. And so the Meccans send 1,000 soldiers to protect their caravan, and Muhammad, with 300 warriors, defeats 1,000 at the Battle of Badra. He takes this as confirmation he's supposed to be a military leader, and he fights in 66 battles and raids in the next 8 years before he dies. He kills 3,000 people, beheads 700 Jews in Medina. Within 5 years of Muhammad coming into the Jewish city of Medina as an immigrant, there's not a Jew left in the city of Medina.
Wow.
They were chased out, killed, or enslaved. He goes to that city of Al-Taif, and he's hurling rocks in there with these catapults. And when they tell Muhammad the catapult is killing innocent women and children with these flying rocks, Muhammad's response was, they are among them. So they got to be killed too. So suicide bombers and ISIS killers say it's okay to kill innocent women and children to advance Islam because Muhammad did.
Yeah, they are among them.
And since Muhammad is forever the perfect Muslim, Muslims that want to be better Muslims, they want to be like Muhammad. And so the nonviolent Muslim has actually backslid. Now, thankfully, the majority of Muslims have backslidden there, but now we're beginning to see that there's this resurgence of Muslims wanting to follow Muhammad's example. We call that getting radicalized. And so the idea of who can tell us what a true Muslim is? Muhammad. And so when the president says things like, well, Islam says it's wrong to kill the innocent. Well, let's define the word innocent. Innocent is a follower of the way of Allah. Mm. And so if you are not a follower of the way of Allah, you're guilty. And it says, Allah loveth not those who reject the faith. Be ruthless to the unbeliever. Make war against the unbeliever. Kill the disbeliever wherever you find them. And so when they say it's wrong to kill the innocent, it's code for it's wrong to kill faithful Muslims. Now, the ones that are doing the killing, they view the nonviolent Muslims as having departed from the way of Allah. So they have no problem killing them as well as they do killing the infidels. So it's important for us to understand these definitions. Another definition is the word peace. Islam is a religion of peace. Well, their definition of the word peace is different than ours. Our definition of peace is different groups getting along. Their definition of peace is when the whole world submits to the will of Allah.
Right.
And so to them, world peace means world Islam. So again, very important that we get these definitions down.
Exactly. Words do matter. And if you want to know what somebody is going to do, look at what they've done. They followed this pattern time and time again. And we're ignoring this, sticking our heads in the sand. It's almost, Bill, like we're being set up here. I mean, we already see it happening in the European countries, whether it's Paris, France, now Germany, where you have these Muslim immigrants that are coming in and they're taking over. I mean, there's cities here in the United States that they've Muslims have taken over, and where they've declared that their rule of law will be Sharia. I mean, how? And you go, wait, how can that happen in the United States? Well, it's happening. It's a very slow growth, progressive sort of thing that's been happening over the years. And you know, in the end, I mean, here it is, a repeat of history, and we're being set up right here. But what are we going to do about it?
Well, again, Muhammad's life is the example of immigrating into a host victim country, increasing the number of your followers amongst those that feel like they have a grievance or they've been victims, and then you eliminate the previous culture. I was speaking in Detroit and afterwards visiting with people, and so there was a lady who had a ministry to pregnant moms, and she goes by the Muslim house because there's a pregnant mom. She gives them a little present. Well, while she's there, out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. Out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. Out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom, all pregnant by the same man. He's practicing Sharia law polygamy in his house in Dearborn, Michigan. And then I visit with somebody else, and he says, oh, yeah, Fazl bought a bunch of houses on the block. He has a wife in each one. They go down to the welfare office and say the husband's not around, and they get these checks. And he visits these wives, and the more children they have, the larger the checks get. He's living like a king at state expense, and all the kids playing in the middle of the street are his kids. He's practicing Sharia law polygamy on his block. They take over several more blocks, and they vote in the school board, and now they have the girls wearing their burqas and their calls to prayer in the school, and now they take over several more blocks and vote in the police department, fire department, sort of like Hamtramck, Michigan, just recently
yes.
got its first majority Muslim city council, and all the Polish residents are being forced out. And now they have their minarets and their calls to prayer on loudspeakers. And these little Polish ladies that are still there, they're like, it's so loud, we can't think when it's going off. And so the first ones come in as immigrants, and then they increase and want to get involved politically. And then you always have that stickler that says, I'm not going to move out of this neighborhood. I grew up here, or I can't afford to move out. And that's when Muslim youth do random violence. And there's no witnesses, because no Muslim family will testify against another Muslim family on behalf of some kafir infidel. And so they eventually drive out. And so wherever they build a mosque, mark it on your calendar, within a certain period of time, the majority demographics around that mosque are going to change to be majority Muslim.
Exactly.
And so it's this process that follows Muhammad's example. The first ones come in as immigrants, and they're nice. They're so nice. People say, they're nice, nothing to fear. And well, then they get more come in. They gravitate together, form a community. And then the imam shows up and says, okay, we need to get with the program. Ladies start wearing the burqas. And a burqa has the same psychological effect on non-Muslims as gang colors. And so if you see the gang colors, it's like, uh-oh, the neighborhood's changing. I recently spoke on this at a church this past Sunday. There was a whole lot of Africans there from Kenya, from Ivory Coast, from these different countries. And afterwards, they come up and go, that's exactly what's happening in our country. They come in, and then they build their communities, and then they begin to get pushy, and then they end up driving out the previous inhabitants.
Well, Bill Federer, this is from his book, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. Bill Federer, thank you for being with us on Bill Martinez Live. It's 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
This report is brought to you by Kelley Blue Book. The editors of Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com, the only vehicle valuation and information source trusted by both consumers and the automotive industry, have named their list of the 16 best family cars of 2016, helping ease the struggle to find the best new cars tailored for families of all sizes. After extensive testing, with a keen focus on safety, comfort, convenience, and fit of various child safety car seats, Kelley Blue Book's experts recommend their choices of vehicles that best meet the needs of today's modern families. Jack R. Nierad, Executive Editorial Director and Executive Market Analyst, KBB.com.
For 2 weeks' time, we did everything that you and your family might do with a vehicle day-to-day, with a certain sense of what a family needs and wants. Since many of our testers are simultaneously parents of kids ranging from mid-20s to newborn, we drew heavily upon both our family car experiences and our new car expertise to choose this year's best cars for families.
For more, visit KBB.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you, so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID ID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Booyah!
Just another Spanish love song.
Don't be afraid. You will not be hurt if you comply. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with the America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't be afraid. We just want to talk the truth, okay? And we are pursuing the truth no matter where it leads because, you know, when you consider that there are choices to be made, what do you want to make the choice on? Based on just opinion or, you know, is fact, is truth enter into the equation at all? I've found historically that when we use our brains, as Dr. Ben Carson would say, and we, you know, bring into the discussion facts and truth, you know, the end result is much more effective. You know, why should we waste our time and go around in circles and feel like we are right now in a bucket of gum going nowhere and locked down because we've been mired in all this deception that we've been surrounded by? But, hey, enough of that stuff. And this is why we have Gail Trotter on with us right now, attorney, a senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. She's co-founder of Schaefer and Trotter PLC, a law firm in metropolitan Washington, D.C. that advises entrepreneurs and small businesses. Gail Trotter, welcome back to Bill Martinez. Always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful and getting better. I went through this little bug thing that's been going around the country, you know, that's kind of attacked everybody's lungs. I mean, everywhere you go, and we're getting in there. I'm at that point in stage now where every day I'm just 5% better, and boy, that 5% is feeling pretty good at times.
As long as it's 5% better than 5% worse, right?
Yeah,
without incremental.
Exactly. As long as we're moving in the right direction. Well, Gail, hey, I wanted to talk to you about your article that you wrote, Scalia's Empty Chair and the Senate's Path Forward. This week, it is rumored that the president will, as he said, it's his job to present a candidate. And he's going to put one forth. What are you seeing right now?
Right. There's a really important Politico piece that came out today talking about the White House's battle plan for putting forward a Supreme Court nominee and putting pressure on those vulnerable senators who are basically being called to attack by these pressure of this plan from the White House. And President Obama does not want to give up this opportunity to make sure that Justice Scalia's legacy of constitutionalism and reliance on the original meaning of the text is put to bed. President Obama wants to make sure that his presidency and the legacy of his fundamental transformation of the United States goes for much longer than the end of his last term, which will end January 2017, if he likes it or not. Mm-hmm. But putting a Supreme Court justice on the bench who is in alignment with President Obama's view of the Constitution as a living and breathing document that doesn't really affirm the black letter law of the rights that are written in the text, like the Second Amendment, which you might remember was decided by a narrow 5-4 vote to uphold the individual right to bear arms,
exactly.
President Obama will assure that his legacy goes on for decades.
Well, he's had two picks already, and a third one would be very dangerous because we know he's not going to offer up. I mean, he's got to do what he believes in, and what he believes in, just as you stated, Gail, is that our Constitution is an elastic document. Our founding fathers really didn't mean what they said.
Right. And I think that President Obama has shown that through the picks that he's put on the court already, they are very determined to unwork all of the important legacy that Justice Antonin Scalia left on the court. He was one of the best writers in the history of the Supreme Court, and he really turned the court. He wasn't victorious all the time on all of the issues that he took judicial notice of, but he really made a rigorous effort of all of the justices, including the liberal justices, to make sure that their arguments were logical and at least somewhat based on the Constitution and the relevant law. So he's going to be sorely missed on the Supreme Court, and it is vitally important that the Republicans in Washington who are on the Senate Judiciary Committee and who are in the Senate generally do not allow any nominee of President Obama to come before the Senate for hearings. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell has said very firmly he's not going to allow this to happen. Senator Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee where the hearings would be held for any potential Supreme Court nominee, he said he's not going to let it happen. But as soon as the White House goes forward with these attack ads on these senators in more moderate states, it's going to become increasingly difficult for these senators to withstand the pressure that's going to be brought to bear by President Obama with his bully pulpit and his team that will set out to basically change their opinion on whether or not to have hearings on President Obama's nominee.
Well, Gail, you bring out an excellent point, and this is what America needs to be aware of. You know, what is going on? Yes, we have the Trump effect going on politically for the 2016 presidential elections, but you've got all the downline of Republican senators and congressmen that could be affected by Donald Trump being elected president. And this is what, you know, Ted Cruz is insisting. I don't think he's quite articulated it quite as clearly as you just did, but there is a cause and effect relationship, and the president understands this, and he's going to put pressure on these weak links to get his way to, you know, and it's interesting because this is a president who, as a senator, you know, fought tooth and nail against any kind of, you know, last minute nominations of a justice because, you know, they just, you know, traditionally for the last 80 years felt that this was, you know, not congruent and in the best interest of we the people. But yet now he's insisting some sort of high self-righteous ground, I guess.
That's right. And any excuse he makes about that is transparently phony. And I outline in my piece where this has come up when a president has nominated a Supreme Court justice in a presidential election year, and that nominee has been confirmed. Two of the times happened under President Eisenhower and President Hoover. Both of them were Republicans under divided government. So they were Republican presidents. They had Democratic majorities in Congress. And what did they do? They nominated Democrats. President Eisenhower nominated Bill Brennan, who was a towering liberal figure on the court, and President Hoover nominated Benjamin Cardozo, who also was a liberal on the court. So President Obama, if he thinks it's really vitally important that we have nine justices on the court before the next president is elected, he could do something like nominate someone like Senator Mike Lee, who is a very experienced lawyer, firm on the Constitution, has argued before the Supreme Court before. There are many, many conservative jurists or even Republican jurists that he could pick from if he wanted, if the fact that he's saying we need to have a ninth Supreme Court justice to make sure that the cases go forward, he could follow President Eisenhower and President Hoover's examples.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. I agree.
Exactly. Well, but yet, you know, and I got to hand it to this president, you know, who's lived a charmed life. There's no doubt about it. He has resorted and relied on his charm all his life. And he tells you things with a straight face that now, after 8 years and not being vetted appropriately by the media, as we've talked about many times, people are starting to see him for what he's worth and realizing, going, wait a minute, his actions are not lining up with his speech.
Right, that's true. And I think that we're going to see that with this effort coordinated by the White House to put pressure on these senators, because you would say that President Obama has been such a, you know, inspiring person who has tried to unite the American people. But this effort to take political operatives and put pressure on senators who are up for re-election in moderate states is not a unifying theme. A unifying theme would be to appoint a Republican to the Supreme Court, as has been done twice before.
Right, and he's the first to say, I mean, interesting, I regret that we have this contention. I could have done a better job at getting along with people. Well, yeah, but you've had 4 years to get this. Why are we at this point, you know,
right,
at the 11th hour? And then even on an 11th hour situation, you know, we had a conversation earlier with Kate Obenshain, who wrote the book Divider in Chief. I said, I'd be interested to take a look to see how many Republicans are written in the guest list, you know, that come in and meet with the president.
Would be great to see, wouldn't it?
It would be quite telling. And of course, as I said, when this president leaves office, I think more of the truth will be known. Gail Trotter, attorney and senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Gail, thank you for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 19 before the
top of the hour.
This
is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple. Repayment plans are flexible and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's P-R-O-P-U-R-USA.com.
We We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me. Hey, good to have you with us, America. 14 before the top of the hour. It is time for the one and only Bob Waliszewski, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture and Director of Focus's Plugged In Department, which features the popular Plugged In website, PluggedIn.com. Those are the websites you need to know and be aware of. Robert, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Bill. Happy Monday.
Yeah,
coming off a good weekend where I did a little snow skiing. I haven't done any snow skiing in a couple of years.
Oh, I got to tell you, Bob, I have not been on since I had both knees scoped. And I don't know what it is, but I got to tell you, I used to ski all the time, and I miss it. Of course, the kids, you know, they're all snowboarders, you know, but, you know, they're flying down the mountain. But, yeah, I miss being on the mountain. Good fun for you.
It was. It was such a perfect day, too. I think it was like 50 degrees. The sun was out, hardly any wind. It was just a fabulous Friday. Glad to have had a day like that.
Hey, let's talk about Cloverfield Lane, number two at the box office. Zootopia is still number one, solid. And The Young Messiah made it in the top 10. Maybe disappointing numbers a little bit, but let's break out with John Goodman and, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty happy about that, and maybe surprisingly to our listeners, we gave this one on the bubble 3 out of 5. That's not a bad score. It's a J.J. Abrams film, the guy behind Lost. In it, a young woman has a car wreck. She wakes up in an underground bomb shelter. The man who built the bomb shelter, Goodman, you've already mentioned, tells her that all the people on the planet are dead. The air above is poisonous, can't breathe it. There's another guy down there as well. She, of course, has her doubts, but there's no way that these two guys are going to let her go outside. So the movie's quite a mystery. What's going on? It's quite intense. That said, some of the problematic biggies are noticeably absent here. Yay. No nudity, no sex, no misuses of our Savior's name. There's some gore, and I don't want to understate the intensity of this film, no way is it for younger kids, perhaps older teens. So that 3 out of 5, that on-the-bubble score for us, is going to have some people going, okay, hey, sounds better than I thought it was going to be. I think we'll go.
Yeah, $25 million at the box office, you know, for somebody screaming, don't open the door.
Exactly. And that's pretty much the theme. Should she open the door or should she not open the door? You know, that's really the big mystery. What is going on? I mean, and it takes us to the end of the film to find out. So quite the sit on the edge of your seat film, really. And no surprise, J.J. Abrams is kind of known for those kind of films.
Exactly. And then The Young Messiah, underperforming, I think. I thought it would do better than Seventh, but still about 1,900 a theater.
Yeah. And put that in perspective. Star Wars, The Force Awakens, which has been out 13 weeks, almost did per theater average what this brand new Young Messiah did. So Star Wars made about 1,700 a theater, and Young Messiah did 1,900 a theater. So there's not a whole lot of difference. So, and the Young Messiah deserved better. I like the film quite a little bit, but I also get it. I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but for listeners who are tuning in for the first time, you know, when you're dealing with a film that has kind of an epic feel to it, and it deals with the boyhood of Jesus Christ, there's a whole lot of people in the faith community, they're gonna think like I did initially, which is, wait a minute, the Bible tells us about his birth, we got shepherds, we have wise men, and then we have him in the temple at age 12, and then we pick up the story at age 30. So you're telling me Hollywood made a film about when he was 7 years old and it's 2 hours long? Okay, I don't think I'm interested. It's way too much fiction. I'm not into fiction about my Savior.
Right.
But this one is so respectful of Jesus, so respectful of the Scriptures, and the things that happen on screen could have happened. I liked it. But I also get why a lot of people didn't go. So,
you're right. Well, you know, we interviewed last week the composer of the score, John Debney. What a terrific, terrific, gifted man. When you look at the breadth and body of his work, but that, you know, in terms of the epicness of the movie and the music that goes along with it. Debney, as Cyrus Narasa, who we also interviewed in Nashville, who's the director and screenwriter, all based from the Anne Rice's novel. And Cyrus said, he says he never, having worked with John Debney on several occasions, said that he never feels like the movie is done until Debney puts his finishing touches on it. And the epicness of the movie is definitely there in sound with the composition that he did for the movie.
Yeah, I like their tagline for this film, The Young Messiah. It says, before he was a teacher, before he was the master, he was a child. My wife and I invited her mom to come join us for a screening. I actually saw this film three times, Bill. I think last time I talked to you, a week ago, I had seen it twice. Well, I actually saw it last Thursday night, and that screening, my mother-in-law attended. She's a believer. But one of the, we went out to dinner yesterday, Sunday afternoon, and one of the things that I asked her, how did you like that film? Because we didn't really have a chance to talk about it afterwards. And she said, I just have never thought about what Jesus was like when he was a boy.
Right.
This film really hit me that he was a boy at one time. And I think that's how it hit me too. It was like, oh yeah, you know, he was once 4 years old. He was five. He was seven. He was nine. He was 15. He was 18, you know. Now it only covers seven, but it reminds you that he was all those ages. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And what it reminds me, you know, oftentimes you read in the Bible when Mary, comes to, you know, some understanding or at least exposure to the divine and supernatural, it says that she pondered it in her heart. And I think that what some people do when you see this movie, you, much like Mary, ponder it and say, wow, like your mother-in-law, I hadn't really thought about that, you know, but yeah, you're right. You know, what happened in those years? I mean, here he is, this child, the son of God that Mary and Joseph knew was really special. How did that dynamic play out in the family, you know, and occasionally his divinity, even as a child, had to come out to where they're going, okay, this is what, you know, this is what we're dealing. I mean, one moment he's out there with the kids playing. He had to be, you know, playing around, relating to the kids. And then next minute, all of a sudden he does something rather divine. And you go, that's right. He is the Son of God.
Yeah. And of course they knew that. And the reminder that between dreams, between angel visits, between shepherds coming in and telling them what they had just heard from the angel visit, to the wise men coming to worship and bow down and giving the gifts. I mean, these were parents that go, we have a very special baby. We have the Messiah. We know about it. Oh, what do we do now? We raise him. Yeah.
It's not like you go on. It's not like you go on Oprah and start talking about this godchild that has invaded your home, right?
Right. Right.
Not that anybody would believe you.
Yeah. Well, a couple other things I want to mention as far as over the weekend. Zootopia grabbed the top spot again, made approximately $50 million. We'll find out final figures tomorrow, which puts it $142 million in 2 weeks. We gave it a four. It's still a four that it was kind of. I would still recommend if we got listeners who have young kids who want to take their kids, like here a four and go, oh, they loved it. Well, we loved it, but there's still a little bit of problem with this one. Even a four needed some unpacking.
A reluctant four maybe.
A reluctant four. That's the way to say it. And so people might want to check that one out. Deadpool, which has now been out for 5 weeks, made another $10 million, $328 million. Sad, because I think studios love to copy movies that are successful. So, and I think what they've looked at with Deadpool is they say, okay, what can we do in the superhero genre that's lewd and crude and nasty and R-rated, because Deadpool's made $328 million. Let's find some kind of superhero that we can do the same thing. And I unfortunately don't think that's the message they should have learned, but I'm afraid that's the message that they took away.
Well, they break it down by the demographic. They're going after what, you know, the young men. What, 18 to 30?
20-somethings, 30-somethings. But we also know that there was a lot of teen interest in this one. And we've seen that at Focus where parents have said, hey, I've got a teenager who really wants to go see this one. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so glad you did your review, because you spelled it out. But I still know what they were saying is, but we got a little war going on in our family. We've got, you know, all of his buddies have seen it and he hasn't seen it. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, but it's so nasty. You would never want, to expose your child to a movie as nasty as this one. And unfortunately, I know people have just given up and said, okay, son, daughter, you can go, you know, which is too bad. So,
well, yeah,
other movies that
go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
Well, two other movies that were new this weekend. I just want to let our listeners know that the reviews are up in case again they're kind of new listeners, they're not sure. The Perfect Match, hard R. The Brothers Grimsby, hard R. One came in at number six. The Perfect Match came at six. Brothers Grimsby came in at number eight. I'm glad it didn't do better than eight. Both of those didn't deserve. They're really, really hard R's, as I said. But I also want our listeners to know that we don't just do, even though we're a family ministry, we don't just do films that are family possibilities. We do everything that's R-rated and down. We don't do any NC-17s. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of NC-17s that come out, but there are a few. We don't do any of those. We draw a line, but there are a bunch of R's that come out that are just awful, and we still do those. I think
exactly.
We may have to relook at that.
Sometime. Bob Olszewski, I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, Robert.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.